Most of us will be familiar with the story of Joseph, although some of us are probably more familiar with the West End musical. I'll resist the temptation to burst into song. But in many ways, he led an unimaginable life. His is a story of betrayal and of hardship, but ultimately of redemption and success. We're told in Genesis chapter 37 that Jacob loved his son Joseph more than any of his brothers. He gave him a very famous multicoloured robe. This robe would have been very expensive, and so Joseph's brothers became very envious of their father's love for him. They plotted against him and decided that they would kill their brother. After some discussion, though, they decided that they would sell him as a slave instead. They decided that they would profit from his misery. They went home and they told their father that Joseph had been killed by wild animals. The Bible doesn't go into too much detail on how Joseph felt about this, so we're left to wonder. But he must have been terrified of what might happen to him, of what was already happening to him. He must have been sad that he was being taken away from his family, confused about why this was happening. Earlier in the chapter, in verses 5 to 10, Joseph had dreamt that his brothers, and even his mother and father, would bow before him one day. Now, though, it seemed that he would never see them again. So how had it all gone so wrong? Had his dream been wrong? Had God abandoned him? Fortunately, none of us know what it's like to be sold into slavery. But we all know what it's like for things to go wrong. This year in particular, we have all had our lives changed by a global pandemic that was certainly not in our plans. None of us had planned for the effects that this scenario would have on our lives, the effects it would have on our homes, our jobs, our relationships with each other, or even on our church. A year ago, who could have foreseen that we would be meeting online as a church like this? Maybe you found yourself asking at some point in the last few months how this could all have happened. Why did God let this happen? What's our plan B? Perhaps Joseph asked those same questions. Joseph was a slave in Egypt for many years. We don't know exactly how long, but we do know in Genesis chapter 39, verse 2, that the Lord was with Joseph and he became a successful man. Joseph was given power and responsibility by his master Potiphar. But again, he was betrayed, this time by Potiphar's wife, who told lies about Joseph and had him thrown in prison. At least 2 years pass before Joseph is freed, but Pharaoh then gives Joseph immense power, makes him second only to Pharaoh himself. Joseph's been on a real roller coaster in this period. He's gone from his father's favoured son to a slave, and then from a slave to the chief of slaves, and then from a chief of slaves to a prisoner, and then finally from prisoner to being king in all but name. The one thing, however, which is unchanged throughout chapters 39 to 41 is Joseph's steadfast faith in God. Even at his lowest point, when he was a slave or when he was in prison, he did not know why this was happening to him or what God was doing, but he always knew that he was not alone. By the end of Genesis, Joseph is reunited with his family once more, and that dream that he had as a child has come true. His brothers bow before him and beg for his mercy. And in that moment, he shows them love, when he could have taken revenge. He tells them that it all had all been a part of God's plan. In chapter 50, verse 20, Joseph says to his brothers, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." You see, God had planned everything perfectly. He had intended Joseph's to go the way it had, so that countless lives would be saved through Joseph's prudent governing in time of famine, including Joseph's own family. Going even deeper, Joseph's life leads directly into the story of Exodus, where Moses leads God's people to safety. This in turn points to the true Saviour, Jesus Christ, who is still to come. Joseph could not have understood the full extent of God's intentions for him, but God had planned it all to perfection. It was all a part of God's big picture. Nothing had gone wrong. You see, if you've ever been to one of the great art galleries, perhaps to the National Gallery or to the Louvre, you may have seen some of those paintings by the 17th and 18th century masters, which take up an entire room. You may have stood directly in front of them in order to get a close-up view of them. And all you would see is a smattering of colour. You wouldn't see shapes. You wouldn't see people or buildings. You'd just see smudges and smears on a bit of paper. You might think to yourself then, why has this been hung in an art gallery? It's not until you stand back, you stand even on the other side of the room, that you can see the whole painting. And you're able to understand what it was you were looking at. It wasn't just a smudge you were looking at, but a great and glorious painting. When you stand back, you can see the painting as the artist intended it. And that's exactly what our lives are like. Each of us lives our lives, and we may not understand our lives or the things that happen to us. But we're like the person standing right in front of the painting who can only see those small patch of colours. It's not unless we stand where God stands that we see what God had intended for us, what God had intended for all of creation. Joseph's life did not go the way that he thought it would, and it certainly had not gone the way that he had planned. But he knew that God had planned all of it for a purpose. Despite not knowing what that purpose was, he still trusted God, and he was even able to glorify God for everything that had happened to him. In chapter 41, we see Joseph names his two sons in honour of God. He calls the eldest Manasseh, which means God made me forget my hardships, and the youngest he called Ephraim, which means God has made me fruitful. How difficult that must be when you've been through such a difficult life. You've been ripped away from your family and from your home, taken to a strange land, made a slave and a prisoner. Still, Joseph was able to thank God for what had happened to him, even naming his sons in such a way that he would be given a daily reminder of what he had been through, of what God had done to him, but also of what God had done for him. When things go wrong for us, we tend to look for a plan B. But there is no plan B, and there never was, because God doesn't need one. Everything that happens in our lives was always in God's plans, and we remember that it is always about Jesus. When our plans go out the window because of the coronavirus or for any other reason, all we can do is put our faith in God and know that in every setback there is an opportunity to better use our lives for God's purpose. His plans for us are probably not as grand as they were for Joseph. I'm not suggesting that any of us is about to be called upon to be made Queen Elizabeth's right-hand man. We may not even know in our own lifetime why things happened the way they did. It could seem frightfully unfair to us. But two things we can be certain of. The first is that God loves us, and the second is that he is in control of all things. When our plans go wrong, our natural instinct is to panic, or even to rush to find a solution. And these can seem like good things to do, completely understandable things to do. But as children of God, when things don't go our way, first we must stop and pray. We must throw ourselves at the feet of God and pray for his mercy and thank him for his love. Cry out to him, thank you, God, that you have loved me and that you are in control. Show me your way, Lord, and use my life for your good. When things don't go our way, it's easy to think that the plan went wrong, that it's all broken down. But nothing went wrong. The plan is still going ahead exactly as God intended. The problem is, we didn't know the plan. We didn't understand it, and we made our own plans. Having made our own plans, we think that we're in control of our own lives. When things go wrong, it's an opportunity for us to be reminded of the fact that God is in control of our lives. So the next time things go wrong for you, I challenge you to throw yourself at his feet. Give your life to God in everything. Be reminded that it's his plans which are important and not yours. Prophet Jeremiah tells us that God has a plan for us, a plan to prosper us and not to harm us. Let us remember that when things don't go our way. God is in control and God is working for our good in all things. What a wonderful thought that truly is.